Okay, I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Illinois State Toll Highway Authority Strategic Planning Committee for Wednesday, February 19th, 2014. And would you please call a roll?
Committee Chair Weisner?
Here.
Director Dodson? Director Sweeney?
Here.
Chair, the quorum is physically present. In addition, Chair Wolf would like to attend the Strategic Planning Committee by phone when available. She's prevented from physically attending because of a family or other emergency, which is one of the approved reasons for such participation.
Thank you. And do we need a motion to that effect?
You do, in fact, yes.
Okay.
So if we could have a motion for the joinder by audio conference of Chair Paula Wolf pursuant to Section 7 of the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
Make that motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that's approved. Thank you very much, and we hope to have our chairman join us here. We always plan for public comment, the possibility of public comment. I don't believe we had any prior contacts relative to the desire to speak today, but I just wanted to present that opportunity at this time. If anybody would like to make public comment, would anyone like to comment at this time? If not, then we'll move on to the approval of minutes of the previous Strategic Planning Committee meeting, which was held on December 11th, 2013. I first would ask if there's any desire to amend or add to those minutes. And if there's not, then I would accept a motion to approve them.
Motion.
We have a motion, a second here, and all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that's carried. The minutes are approved. And I would now turn things over to the Executive Director, Christy here, if she wishes to give an overview before we ask Rocco to talk about our planning work.
Great. Thank you. A couple of things. One, an update legislatively, and the other, I'll maybe give a brief introduction to the presentation and hopefully discussion that we end up having today. Legislatively, there's some legislation that's moving in Springfield allowing the Illinois Department of Transportation to have design-build authority. We would like to be included and given some authority to do design-build as necessary and needed for those projects that we think could benefit from it. I wanted to certainly make the Strategic Planning Committee aware that we were going to try to negotiate ourselves into that bill. I do think that it's a very timely and frankly strategic move for us to at least have the authority. Whether we ultimately use it or not, we certainly won't be mandated to, but to have the authority I think will be a good thing. So I think you're both familiar with design bills, but for the public's benefit, you know, it does provide, I think, an opportunity for some significant time savings, as instead of the tollway's typical process now is to go out, solicit an engineering firm to do the design, they come up with the plans, we then go out and bid those, and a contractor ultimately bids on executing the design as the engineer did it. Design build combines those two elements, so it does result in some time savings. As a result of those time savings, sometimes some efficiency and cost savings. Although we don't want to overestimate the cost savings, you know, it really is just efficiency and time savings as much as anything, but still a valuable tool. So if there's any concern with that, otherwise we're going to pursue trying to see if we can get ourselves into.
Do you need a motion?
No, we don't. I just wanted to make sure you all knew, since it would be some new authority for us or a new way of us doing projects.
And maybe I missed that. Would that have to be done legislatively or administratively?
It would have to be done legislatively. Right now, there's not authorization for design build for the tollway or for the Illinois Department of Transportation, for that matter. So,
will we then adopt it on a project-by-project basis if we see fit?
We would. And we don't see this as something that the magnitude of, for instance, you know, if we would have had it, we would have never, I don't think we would have implemented as, you know, the entire Jane Addams reconstruction is design build, but probably more specific projects, you know, a specific bridge or specific interchange project, for instance, there might be some application.
Mm-hmm. So, well, one would hope, given the scope of work we have in front of us, as well as the high standards that we have along with IDOT. And certainly if the legislature were going to consider IDOT that possibility, it would include us in that. So I think that's a very good idea to pursue that. Thank you.
So that was a heads up as much as anything, and I appreciate the support on that. Now, if it's okay, going to introduce Rocco and turn it over to Rocco to do, as we always do at these meetings, we do spend some time going through our work plan and discussing what we've done or plan to do and hope to accomplish in the meetings to come. But we're also going to spend some significant time going through our plans for the I-90 Jane Addams Corridor. It's very exciting. We've been talking about this as the first smart corridor, not only on the Illinois Tollway System, but anywhere in the state, and I think one of the first, if not the first in the country by the time that it's done. But active traffic management is one of the things that we are going to be able to do as a result of this being a smart corridor. Sometimes people just nod their heads when we say smart corridor because they don't want to say that they don't really know what that means. So we are going to talk a little bit about what we're going to be able to do on the Jane Addams. I think it's very exciting the way we're going to be able to really, in a dynamic way, manage the traffic and incidents and everything else on that corridor after we're done with this reconstruction. So I will turn it over to Rocco to start with the work plan.
So obviously last year we focused on, last 2 years really, we focused on developing policies to put ourselves in place to start implementing projects across the New Illinois program. Things that we focused on over the last couple of years, the interchange policy, noise policy, and landscape policy. Thanks for your efforts on that because it's actually working and being used on a lot of different projects. We see the Barrington Road interchange that's brought up at FAO today. But in 2014-15, it's really going to be kind of a let's think about what's next. So I put some ideas out here, what we have to things to tackle in 2014 and into early 2015 as part of the overall work plan for this committee. Like I said, for the last couple of years, was policy focused. Now, and this year, you'll see the active traffic management and some other things that we have to discuss and start advancing as far as implementation goes. So what I've laid out here is really what the items that I see that we need to be talking about over the first 6 months, the latter half of the year, the 6 to 12 month time frame, and things that may be able to defer into early 2015. Obviously today, active traffic management. If you have any other thoughts, ideas, and things that we need to bring to the committee, please let me know. Paul will do a presentation on active traffic management today and see how that plays into our system and get an understanding of how we may be able to apply this on other corridors. Another item that we're going to have to discuss within the first half of the year is some of the regional tolling partnerships and what our role might be. There's obviously a lot of projects, other toll projects that are out there right now that are being contemplated in the state, Illiana being one of them. King County Toll Bridge has been discussed before. We've talked about that. What role might the tollway play in these projects from an operations standpoint, so that'll be something that we'll have to talk about sometime in the first 6 months of this year, and really understand what our role might be. Maybe it's what we have to do long term is create a policy for this, because there is a lot more discussion, not just about these projects, but congestion pricing that's been contemplated on some of the IDOT corridors. There's new legislation in MAP 21, so what role might the tollway play in moving forward on these projects? Elgin O'Hare, Western Access Projects Aesthetics, we had a workshop, I believe it was at the end of January, so this one will just be kind of a review of what we're doing on the Elgin O'Hare Corridor, laying out some of the concepts that we're going to be implementing out there from an aesthetics standpoint. So there are some unique things that we're definitely doing out there to make sure that this is not just a chunk of concrete that's going to be laid down in the middle of DuPage and Cook County, but really kind of blend in with the surrounding atmosphere. And there's things that we're doing along all of our projects now to implement some corridor-wide aesthetics. So we'll talk about some of those things and initiatives that really kind of were laid out through some of the landscape policies that we had as well. We talked about a little bit about the environmental and sustainability policy last year. Well, we are now moving forward with INVEST, which is a LEED certified type program. that we are working on with the Federal Highway Administration would be a LEED certification for roadways. There really isn't anything like this out here yet. So what we really want to do is kind of rate ourselves and what how are our roads performing from an environmental standpoint. It's really something really innovative that we're trying to do. So, you know, then what overall type of sustainability policy should we have for all of our projects, roads, buildings, and whatnot? So that'll be something else that we'll be covering a little bit more detail on and presenting where we are with the invest policy.
I think, Rocco, those two things coming consecutively caught my attention, because I think that the area of aesthetics and sustainability can be combined in many cases, and that's one of the things that we are doing in Aurora with stormwater management, is actually the use of rain gardens, etc., that actually operate or function and assist in drainage naturally, but also present a nice appearance. So that would be an example of combining those two.
And as you can see, this is a pretty aggressive work plan. So we will be having to combine some of these items at meetings. So those two do seem to naturally dovetail. We'll make sure that they're kind of on the agenda together then.
Great. And there'll be a lot of interesting things we're doing on the I-90 corridor too, with that in mind too, from an environmental standpoint, the bioswales.
Good.
Pretty much part of our daily projects.
You know, I think, and that's another thing that occurs to me is that, you know, here we are, you know, in 2014, and aesthetics and highways, I think there's a totally different concept of what that means now as opposed to 30 years ago or 50 years ago.
And can you actually maybe present some of the results of what we're finding on things that we've already done, especially with the bioswales and how they are actually functioning. It's not just a word, it's doing what it's supposed to do as far as removing sediments and heavy metals from the roadway. So these will combine those. So in April, there is going to be an interim report from the Illinois 53-120 Finance Committee. There's a lot of work that's happening right now with the Finance Committee. We're meeting pretty much monthly and have been for the last several months. But what we've targeted is an April time frame to provide you an update of what's happening with that project. You gave us some questions that we needed to bring to the Finance Committee from last year. So we're starting to work through some of those things. We will be presenting some of our survey results. Happy to say that we did put the survey out a couple months ago. We received more than 8,000 responses to that survey, so very productive survey. We're shooting for about the target of about 1,200, so we'll go over some of those survey results, some of the feedback we're getting from the Finance Committee that will likely be in April time frame. Then in the latter half of the year, some of the other things that, attention to, and some of this might shift a little bit. But tolling business rules and policies, this is going to be a joint strategic planning customer service committee meeting. We're getting ready to open up at the end of this year the 294-57 interchange. We want to present some of the business rules and tolling policies that...
because that will be all electronic.
That will be all electronic. The first one we're going to have is interstate-to-interstate connection. So this is not a local roadway. So this is going to be something for us to really think of how should we approach this. We're coming up with some recommendations. It's not just about policies, it's outreach, and how as an agency we may want to address that project. So that'll be a joint committee meeting. But some of the discussion there will also play into how we approach the Elgin O'Hare project as well, another all-electronic roadway where we'd have to implement some new business rules and policies on that road as well. So that'll be maybe the first 6 months, but maybe in the early June time frame as well. Freight plan, we talked a little bit about freight in 2013. So we'll do some updates. We're doing some outreach now. We're doing some literature review. We're working with different agencies, Cook County, IDOT, CMAP, on their freight planning. We'll be doing some survey work, some boots on the ground. We're talking to some of the commercial vehicle users on our system, so that we'll provide an update sometime in August. It's the time frame of that one. One of the items that's been on the work plan for a while is the non-toll ramp review. So this will be thought of in the context of, you know, where we may go with the 53-120 project. There are ramps on our system that that are untolled right now. So I have some discussion about that and see where we may want to take that. And then in December, We will be going over some of the 53-120 final recommendations coming from the Blue Ribbon Advisory Committee. We've challenged the Finance Committee, the Blue and the BRAC, to give us some recommendations to the Strategic Planning Committee by the end of this year. So that's the target, to have some final recommendations from that committee of how they would like to see the project proceed. And that folds into some of the other innovative financing options. There will be some things that they're going to bring up with that within that project that would, you know, lead into a discussion of, you know, how we may want to proceed looking at some other innovative financing for all of our other projects. And then in 2015, we'll look at some transit planning, because now we'll have our vision on the I-90 corridor, more rooted, and how do we want to use our infield areas and integrate more with transit. Look at how we can use the OACs a little bit differently than we do today. And then one of the other items that's been on the work plan for a little while is the supplemental revenue generation, looking at other facilities and see what we could do. So that's pretty much what we're going to be looking at doing in 2014-15. Is there anything else that... it is, again, a full agenda. We get a lot of work out of this committee, that's for sure. It's very much appreciated, because it's actually the fruits are being proven out in the field. So
I would just raise, again, the point relative to the 53-120 project, as I would also with the O'Hare Western Access project, is the concept of a local contribution. I think we want to keep that within our sights. See, and one would hope that we would see progress as we go there as well, that we don't get to an important juncture in the entire project and find out that we're behind schedule in that area. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll keep that well within our sights as well. Director, do you have any questions on
that? No, not really.
Or if there's anything in particular that you want to make sure we're prepared to talk about within the context of any of these general topics, just so we're prepared for that, please let us know.
Okay. And I would also say, looking at this, the freight plan update, I think is very important. Mm-hmm. I think it's time to take a good look at that. They do constitute a lot of the revenue that comes to the tollway. They are good customers, and we need to make sure that we're paying plenty of attention to them, and I see the OASIS, expanded use of OASIS, in there as well as a topic. Those could have some overlap as well, I would think. They may or may not, but I think we need to take a look at it.
And the timing of the freight plan update is good, because Cook County is updating theirs, the state is updating their freight plan, CMAP is doing a regional freight plan, so it just really works out well with the timing of what we're doing from a regional perspective.
How well is the, just curious, when bringing a non-toll interstate into the tollway and you're not having a manual toll booth, how well does that work in meshing that with the freight industry, for instance, cross-country trucks that might be just coming in, exiting quickly, what do they do?
Are you talking about anything in particular?
If I'm a trucker coming down 57, I get to 294, and I'm going on 294, and there's no manual toll, and I don't have an iPod, what do I do?
That's part of the business rules, things we're going to have to figure out. Right now, you can go online and pay. You have 7 days to pay online. You go to the next toll plaza, get the envelope and pay. Go to the OASIS, depending which direction you're going. If you're going to McFound, Hinsdale, OASIS.
Can you pay at the next OASIS if you're continuing through manually from that point and then pay for the last toll you were in?
I think those are all things that we need to think about, right?
Okay. I didn't.
You know, this is.
I thought Rockman all answers.
No, we're looking for you.
Most of them.
Right.
I think he's holding back.
I think that we.
I was just curious, because I've been in Florida when you've hit those sections, and it's quite frankly, it's a pain.
Yeah. Well. 294-57 is uniquely situated such that there is an alternate route that people who didn't have an iPass could go through, which is one good thing working for us. And the other one is a lot of the truckers, they have a high iPass penetration rate, so most of them recognize how important it is.
Whether or not they're actually putting their transponder in there, mounting it correctly in their vehicle is another thing. But yes. But it's all, you know, for the regular passenger vehicles who are coming
as
for
well,
the first time.
Right.
It's definitely, it's not going to be without its complications. I mean, ultimately, we decided that for a diminishing portion of our revenue, to add the cost of trying to put cash collection there, you know, at high-speed interchange like that, where you couldn't do something like a bucket or a machine, right? You'd have to put something else in. And just the cost of the extra capacity, we just couldn't, I think, justify it, frankly. So, but that will have unique issues, and the Elgin O'Hare will have a totally different set of unique issues. Although I think the early traffic surveys that we've done also show very high penetration of IPAS usage for people who are trying to navigate that corridor currently. So that's also fortunate. But there'll be some things, you know, that we have to decide. And, you know, I will say, because please voice your concern now if you have it, one of the things we are looking at is some period for customer education. So, you know, similar to the implementation of speed cameras, for instance, in other areas or other technologies, you know, some period of time where, you know, we would send out, you know, some additional warnings or to do some things to help facilitate some customer education, because they won't be used to navigating a big interstate to interstate interchange like that, you know, without having a cash option. It might be just a nicer way of implementing it without kind of the pain of a lot of violations, you know, learning the hard way, so to speak. So,
and I think the item of tolling business rules policies, I think the other thing you're going to have to kind of look at seriously is making sure you have enough flexibility, because the evolution of technology is so rapid now that whereas you could put something in place and it could be there for 5 years or 10 years and work fine, these days, you know, within 2 years there's change, which means you either have to change something out or add that technology to the menu or whatever the case may be. So there's going to need to be a lot of flexibility there.
And this is exactly why it's going to be a joint strategic planning and customer service committee with Sean Whitehead to have this discussion about what we...
Not that everybody does, and maybe we do have this coming up later if we already have it. Do we, you know, an app that could be developed that, you know, on a smartphone, somebody's coming...
We are looking at that.
Say, use your app and pay that way.
There are definitely, and there are companies out there doing it, and it is something that our new back office system, it wouldn't be something... I don't know that we would have it the first day 294.57 opened, because we won't have our new back office system, and to integrate something like that into our existing would be challenging, if not almost impossible. But it's definitely something that we're planning for in the new one. And in that, we're trying to prioritize an open platform. So not necessarily just one way of doing it, but, you know, there's a lot of, you know, within the industry and the marketplace, it's developing all of these new ways to pay with smartphones or other means, and if we can kind of keep ourselves open to working with whoever comes out the winner in that, I think it'll be a good strategy, I think. But yeah, there's a lot of applications there. So those are some things we will be talking about, both kind of, I think, near-term and long-term policies, which is why we thought it was good to combine the two committees for that meeting.
Great. Anything else? If not, I think we could move on to our next topic that deals with the Jane Addams work there and the inclusion of active traffic management on that project.
All right. Very honored as an engineer to be introducing such an exciting initiative. Christy mentioned exciting a few times there. It's rare that you tell the engineer to talk about something so exciting, but this is something that we've been working on for a little while here. And really, the slides that we have prepared here really provide a good overview of what we're talking about when we talk about active traffic management. The first slide is just explaining what our goals were. So in 2011, when we passed the Move Illinois program, these first three items are almost taken verbatim out of that program book. We want to improve mobility and reduce congestion. We want a 21st century state-of-the-art corridor built on I-90. We want to accommodate transit for the first time in the tollway's history. We want to make some accommodations for transit. And as Director Wisner mentioned, with technology, things are changing so frequently and so often that a key component of our plan is we want to have flexibility in it. We want to be able to respond to new things that are coming up that we can't necessarily fully predict at this point. And the last thing is, of course, we want to incorporate the latest technologies that we have available to us to enhance roadway safety. So engineering's and the tollway's task basically was to turn some of these goals, which were included in our Move Illinois program, and show you what the reality is, or how we're going to incorporate it into the actual work being done on the I-90 corridor. A lot of people got involved in this effort, and before I go too much further, and I want to introduce Laura McGovern. She's with our design corridor manager. It's Benish and V3 that are serving as our I-90 design corridor manager. There were a lot of groups involved, though, in this process and over this time period since the approval of Move Illinois. We had representatives from state police, tollway maintenance and traffic operations, planning and engineering.
And business systems as well, right?
Yes. PACE was engaged. Our traffic engineer, CDM Smith, not to mention all the consultants we have working on I-90, which are several design. But it was a collaborative process. It did go through a lot of iterations, and there were a lot of progress made. And what we're recommending is an active traffic management system on I-90 for the area from Barrington Road east to where we tie into the Kennedy Expressway. And I'll have some more explanation in here about how we arrived at that. But this next slide is a real interesting slide because it kind of shows what our customers are going to see. This is what active traffic management is going to look like for them. And I have a little toggle built in to this slide right here, which shows you how these gantries would react. These gantries are the key component that's going to be visible to the customers driving on our roadway. They're going to be spaced at a half mile throughout the corridor from Barrington into the Kennedy. And what it's going to allow us to do in basic terms is communicate to our customers about real-time conditions on the roadway. It's something that we don't necessarily have available to us right now. It's going to allow us to inform them about accidents that may be ahead of them or congestion that's ahead of them. It'll give us the flexibility to operate not only the lanes, but also potentially to operate the shoulders to relieve congestion if we need to, or if we want to route people around incidents. It'll give us the potential to post advisory speeds. So if you are going to be approaching an incident where there is stop traffic ahead, we'll have the ability to start informing drivers ahead of time to slow down because they're going to be approaching stop traffic. We could sign alternate routes. It's really the real-time aspect of this that is something new for us, and that is the real exciting portion of it. And in addition, it'll give us the ability to get our emergency responders who have to respond to every single incident on a tollway safely to that site, which is something they struggle with right now when all the traffic is backed up in all the lanes. We did do a search for who else is utilizing something like this, and several countries in Europe. I'm glad to see we passed up all of these now in the gold medal race. But several of them have used it, and they've used it for a while, since 1970. It's been in the Netherlands and Germany and England, and they're seeing some real benefits of this. It's improving their throughput on their roadway, their capacity on their roadway, and it's reducing accidents and incidents on their system. So they're seeing real benefits. In the United States, we have a couple examples shown here, Washington, and also in Minneapolis, where they're implementing similar type systems. And they are also seeing, especially Washington, they have some data, and it's included in some of our slides as references in the back of this presentation. They also tout some of the benefits of what active traffic management can do for you. This is how it's going to look. There's that overhead gantry. You'll see on the left-hand lane, that's where we have striped it out as a preferential lane or as a special lane that we intend to use that for buses. That's how we're going to be accommodating transit. As I mentioned, what it does is it gives us the opportunity to control how the buses will use that lane, when they'll enter that lane, and it gives us an ability to communicate to the other customers driving on the roadway that, you know, they're not going to use that lane. So this is a close-up view.
But at some point in the future, it could also give us the flexibility to manage that lane if the congestion got to a critical point that we could allow both bus
and, that, that's
and
the
vehicle
key.
Traffic.
These components that you see on the overhead truss, they're all modular and they're all dynamic message signs, so to speak, in a smaller sense. They can put words on them, they can put symbols on them, we can advise traffic to move over, we can advise traffic, you know, what advisory speed we want them to have, or we could designate it for bus only.
That could become a congestion relief corridor as well.
That should help us, yes.
Congestion relief, or are you saying congestion price, Stephen?
Price as well.
At some point in the future, I mean, we've certainly created the flexibility here,
right,
to do what needs to be needs to be done to manage congestion in the future. We know that another widening on I-90 would be incredibly costly and challenging, given the number of utilities and things that would need to be relocated on the outside of the
road. Pace and IDOT has had some pretty good success with the I-55 corridor.
Some exceptional success. I think they've doubled ridership, increased on-time performance to the high 80s or 90 percentile range, which of course is what drives usage. You know,
the key though, being that nobody can use it except the buses, so it keeps that efficiency there.
The thing that came out of our discussions with Pace is they need reliable travel times. If you can guarantee that they're going to have reliable travel times, then they have a lot more customer interest. And this is one of the ways that we can control who's using that lane and also the flow of traffic in that lane.
Oh, you can me those lanes for violators?
I know we will have the ability to do that. Our short-term solution is not set up to process violators immediately from day one, but there is another slide here too where we'll show you how we're accommodating state police, because this is where they work. So you'll see that. It's on one of these slides coming up.
And again, we would not anticipate that buses would run 24/7 on the shoulder, but just when it's needed, right? So
correct.
If they can be moving free flow for the most part in up the other lanes of traffic, we wouldn't necessarily anticipate that the bus would be using.
That's the key. Have the flexibility to use it the way we want to use it, when we want to use it. Back.
Is there enough room for, you know, you get situations like this winter, snow accumulation from plowing?
You know, we're on I-55 and over here, there's a point where there wasn't enough room for the bus anymore.
Thankfully, we have a very aggressive snow and ice management program where we do do a lot of removal of this snow, especially, you know, in these corridors where we have this active traffic management. If we want to use that shoulder, it is going to get special attention and we are going to have to clear the snow. But if we come up against an extreme event where there's a snowstorm, then obviously we have the ability to close it and they'll have to go into general purpose lanes.
Paul, did you say you're going to talk more about cameras as you go forward?
It does have the ability, and we do have cameras built into this because we want to be able to monitor these signs and monitor the traffic. So that is going to be part of the active traffic management.
That was my question.
Half mile spacing on the cameras?
Yeah.
It's a half mile. These gantries are a half mile, and I believe the gantries are wired to have cameras.
Yeah. There'll be full camera coverage on the whole corridor.
Yeah. And sitting across from an engineer and a finance guy, I'm not sure I want to proffer anything mathematically, but it sounds like every 30 seconds, if you're going 60 miles an hour, you would be exposed. And if there were a slowdown every minute, and say you're going 30 miles an hour, you'd still see a gantry every 30 seconds, or every minute.
You know, that's the strategy or the theory behind spacing them a half mile. Actually, in Europe, I think they have a little closer spacing than a half mile. But the idea is that you want to be able to see a sign at any point, and it's like roughly 2,300 feet that you can see, so it's roughly a half a mile. And then also, you want to be able to use these signs to convey a message to a customer who could be driving by them, you know, at 60 miles an hour. So the first sign might not say, this lane's closed. It might start to say, you know, there's congestion ahead, move over, and then as you approach the actual incident, it will be closed. So it, by doing it a half mile, it gives you the ability to stage your messages and to provide for the orderly control and movement of traffic to where you want them to be at.
Yeah. That's really a fair amount of hand-holding on the communication or information level.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And there will have to be
you know, 24-hour operation of this system. So why did we pick Kennedy to Barrington Road? And there's some very good reasons. After we widen and reconstruct this I-90 corridor, it's going to have dramatically improved traffic flow. We don't anticipate there being regular congestion on the corridor after that point. However, wherever we have major interchanges, that's always a point where there's going to be heavy traffic, where you have people merging and getting on and off the system. So as I mentioned, you know, the most reliable thing for transit is, I mean, the most important thing for transit is to have reliable travel times. We have worked with PACE to designate our park and ride facilities. You see, the park and ride facilities will be picking up and dropping off people west of Barrington Road. Mm-hmm. All the congested areas or the potential interchange areas where we're going to have heavy traffic exist east of Barrington Road. So really, from Barrington Road on in is where we want to be able to provide the opportunity to operate the bus on shoulder if we need to, and also to have this active traffic management system.
These PACE buses continue on then, or do they drop off at the at Kennedy at O'Hare?
So some of those details are still being developed with them.
So the plan, what we're doing right now, is to take them to the River Road.
I mean, it's great to get them all the way to the Kennedy, yeah, and everything stops.
We're also trying to, you know, obviously working with the Department of Transportation on, there's a widening that's happening between the road where the tollway ends through Harlem. So we're working with IOT to say, what's the best way to maybe think about access? Maybe it's not at River Road, but at the Cumberland Station where you have the larger park and ride facility. So what's the next, how do you get somebody to make sure it's a, you
know, transitioning people onto a train transition to get the rest of the way downtown.
Right, and that's making sure they're connected. So there's still some work to be done on that, but you know, we're working with PACE on that. Getting easy access into the facility, into the River Road is one big step, and then how we're going to get PACE buses out of River Road easily onto I-90 is what we're working on now.
So we also wanted to let you know that, you know, you can make an argument that the urbanized area of I-90 may extend all the way to the Fox River, close to Illinois, Route 47. The active management portion of the corridor that's going to be opened up on day one would be from Barrington to the east to the Kennedy Expressway. However,
Paula?
Yes, I'm going to put you on mute, but thank you for taking the call.
Okay, we're on slide 11. Why Kennedy Expressway to Barrington Road?
Great, thanks a lot.
Well, we wanted to let you know that that portion from Barrington out to Illinois Route 47, that's going to be enabled to expand the system. Like, what we didn't want to do was put in special foundations or do work in the median, and then the very next year we decide this is such a great thing, we want to expand it, and now we have to go out and disturb traffic again. So some of the primary elements we are already incorporating in that section all the way out to 47, so that we don't, if we do have to add it or we do expand it, we won't necessarily have to cause a major disruption to traffic.